Choir. This morning, if you will, turn over in your Bibles to Psalm 34. We're going to look at verse 14, but we're going to go back and start in verse 11 and build up to verse 14. This is a psalm of David. It's sometimes referred to as a praise psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving. We know that David was delivered miraculously by God. He had had an enemy that was pursuing him and different things that were happening. We're not going to go into that, but at this point, David now is celebrating. And if you go all the way back to the first verse, you'll find that he is praising God. We looked at that Wednesday night and talking about the fact that when we experience God, we feel His presence, then it leads us to worship Him. And then in this part of the psalm, David is now beginning to instruct. And what he's instructing about is the things that he's learned through his experiences of walking in the ups and downs in his walk with God. Some of those have been good, some of those have been bad. But all of those have taught David something about who God is and what God wants for us. And so as we look at this morning, we're going to walk through verses 11 through 14. Then we're going to come back and really focus on the statement that he makes at the end of verse 14 where he talks about searching for peace. Now there are at least 100 different locations in the Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, that teach us what peace is and what God desires for us in regards to peace. Without question, Philippians chapter 4, I think it's about verse 7. I tell you this verse all the time. And that is that we search or we're seeking or praying for the peace that surpasses all understanding. Without question, we know what that means. That's a peace that is given by God. Now, make no mistake, the source of peace for us as believers always comes through God. No question about that. However, we need to make sure that we're pursuing God as we're looking for that peace. I'll admit to you, there are times in my life that I can look and see where God miraculously, in spite of where I'm at, in spite of things that I might have not done or have done, God gives me that sense of peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's very vivid, it's very real to me. Without a doubt, it's God's presence bringing that. But God at other times isn't so profound in bringing that peace. And I'm afraid that there are times that I miss to see that peace because I'm preoccupied with something. Maybe I'm allowing a mood or a situation or a conflict to rob me of the peace of God. That is not to say that God's not bringing that peace. It just is God is wanting me to seek that peace, to put myself in a place to where I notice that and I see that peace and I don't miss that peace. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. And I think what David is teaching the children of Israel here, this is almost testimonial in that what David is telling us in verse 14 is that he at times has had to search out that peace. But in that process, he begins to notice God's presence all along. It's just now he's in a place to receive that peace. And it's a lesson that we need to know today and be reminded of. So let's pray, then we'll go back in, as I've said, read verses 11 down through 14. Then I'm going to give you three things that we can learn from David here in our journey in pursuing the peace that only God can give us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. Thank you again for our time of worship, our opportunity to be together in fellowship. But now, Father, as we turn to be able to focus on your word, I am convinced that all of us that are here and those that are watching on our live stream or watching this later this week on one of our podcasts, then I believe that there's intentionality that we're here to receive this message. It's a message from God. It's vividly portrayed in Scripture, and we need to be honest about it and focus on it and be open to receive what it is that you want to teach us. None of us should leave this morning without feeling the sense that you're showing us something in our life. Maybe we're a believer that has abandoned that pursuit of peace because we live in a chaotic world. Some of it is not our fault. Others of it is things that we've created that has brought that sense of chaos. But yet we then blame you because we're not experiencing that peace. What we learn in this passage today, Father, is that sometimes we have to work to put ourselves in that place, doing the things that you lead us to do, being obedient to you, so that we now can begin to experience the peace that you have for us. There may be lost people here this morning, or listening to this, who their life is full of chaos because of their lostness. They live in a constant state of fear because they don't know you as their Lord and Savior. So my prayer this morning for them is that as we talk about this peace, that they now begin to feel the power of conviction that can only come by way of the Holy Spirit, and that they would begin to see their lives as you see it and come to terms with their lostness and know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to you, Father, and experience the peace that we're talking about today without knowing who Jesus is. So God, I pray for them that they, in the midst of all of this, would hear a message of evangelism. Now God, as always, bless the reading of your word. Guide us as we open it together and as we process it, dive into it, and analyze it. Pray that you open our hearts and our minds to you. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. David begins this way in verse 11, "Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord." Now I'm going to pause there for a moment, because you know I'm rarely sensitive about this statement, fearing the Lord. In fact, if you've paid attention through the years, that is one of my cores, is that we don't fear God like we should. And David realizes that. He doesn't fear God sometimes like he should. And he knew the nation no longer feared God. Now, you've heard a lot of messages from me concerning that. We're not going to dive into that rabbit hole, but I would be remiss if I didn't point out that everything he's about to say is built on a proper understanding of who God is, his place and location, the fact that we often remind ourselves that he is sovereign and on his throne, and the things that we seek, including peace, can only be brought by him, nothing else. And in the regards of peace, as David's going to teach us in a moment, the peace that the world offers is a temporary peace. That is not what God desires for us. What God desires for us is a peace that is long-lasting. It's an eternal peace that in the midst of the chaos and the upheaval and the uncertainties and the fears that we have in our life, we can, in the midst of all of that, feel peace because of him. All of that is hinged on the fact that we have a proper understanding of who God is in that fear. We're not God, we never will be, and we're in desperate need of him. Verse 12, he goes on to say this, "Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous?" David's a good preacher here. He's giving you a question at the beginning of his sermon, or maybe the middle of it, to get you to think, and that's what he's done. Do you want that? Of course we do. We want a life that's long and prosperous, not defined by the way the world sees that, but by the way God sees that. And that'll be very different than the world's scenario. He goes on, verse 13, "Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies." This is building up to then putting ourselves in a proper place. That is what we would call being obedient, being the person that God has designed us to be in him and not living a life of sin. We'll come back to that in a moment. Then verse 14. Here is kind of the key verse for us this morning. So he answers the call by giving us this response, verse 14. "Turn away from evil and do good." Now I'll be honest, that's easier said than done. We're going to break that down a minute and kind of look at that. But look at the next statement, and this is where we'll focus most of our time on this morning. "Search for peace and work to maintain it." That's the underlining statement this morning. That's the one that we write down on the sticky note and put on the dashboard of our truck or wherever you'll see it every single day, because that's the thing that we often don't do. And then we have the audacity to blame God for the chaos that we experience and the chaos that we see in the world around us that now begins to drive fear, and we blame God for all of those things when in reality we're not actively searching for that peace. We're not doing the things that God is telling us to maintain it. What are those things? Well, there are three of them that David gives us in verses 11 through 14. You'll see these on the screen as they come up. They're pretty simple. Number one is this. We need to pursue him. He tells us this in this statement where he talks about that we need to search him. We need to listen to him. He will teach us. and that we will live a long and prosperous life. All of those are hinged on this idea that we know who Jesus is as our Lord and Savior, that we're pursuing God. Listen, peace begins with our relationship with God. If you have a chaotic walk with the Lord, then you're going to have a chaotic life that has a struggle in experiencing the peace. You might get it for moments, but it's not a lasting peace because you're constantly in a state of chaos. God does not design us in our faith walk to go up and down, up and down, up and down. What He designs us to do is pursue Him and to grow closer to Him every single day. Now, am I closer to Him today than I am yesterday? I don't know. Hadn't gotten through the day yet. But there are days where maybe I haven't. But that doesn't mean that God has left me or God is no longer sovereign or on His throne. I'm allowing an interference, a distraction that now robs me of what God wants for me this day. And that includes the peace. Listen, I'm speaking from experience this morning. I at times can experience that peace that I can't even explain, but in a minute's notice, something will happen, a phone call, a call where a tire breaks on my wife's car this week, whatever it may be, and it's an instantaneous just, I now get diverted, and I now start focusing on that, and I lose the sense of peace. As I've gotten older, I've learned to compartmentalize things a little. And I have this saying that was taught to me many years ago. In 5 years, will that crisis even be something I remember? And if it is, then maybe I need to weigh it and work through it. If it's not, then it's really no big deal. Manage it, get through it, but it's not going to be something that's going to alter my life, something that I should be worried about or fixated on, or even worse, letting it rob me of my time of pursuing peace. That all goes back to having a strong relationship with God and every single day pursuing that, every single day growing deeper. We've talked about how to do that. It's spending time with Him. It's spending time with His people. It's spending time in His Word. It's spending time talking to Him and spending time studying what He wants to do in your life and how He wants to do it. And notice those things. Pay attention to those things that God now begins to point to you. Your faith was not some totaled up at the point you walked down the aisle of a church and accepted Christ. That was the doorway, but God intends for it to be a growing process from that day forward. And the problem that we have in many of our churches today is that we've gotten content and satisfied, and here's that dangerous word, we've gotten apathetic. And it's almost that we no longer expect God to do much. We're no longer feeling His presence. We're no longer experiencing the things that we're talking about as far as peace and the things that grow us. And now we sort of get immune. Isn't that where the enemy would want us? To where we're no danger to him or the work that he wants to do in your life or in other people's lives? We now become sort of lukewarm. And the Bible teaches us and warns us to not pursue that. But what we should rather is pursue him. I'll say it again, peace begins with our relationship with God, true peace, the God-given style peace. So if you're not experiencing the peace or you need peace about something, then you need to spend time pursuing Him. That's the first step. Number two is this. We've already mentioned it in what David tells us through what God has given him, but he talks about it in verse 13, keep your tongue from speaking evil, your lips from telling lies, and then turn away from evil and do good. You'll see the second one. Second thing that we need to make sure that we do as we set up and pursue peace is live obediently. Listen to this. We can't live in sin and experience the peace of God. They're incompatible. They're not able to exist at the same time. So if you're not experiencing the peace that you need, maybe not only in the pursuing of God and your walk with Him, God now begins to show you sin in your life. Things that are not you being obedient to Him. Things that now have become distractions because you've let them be distractions. And don't think, please, that distractions always come from some other force on the outside. Sometimes we create our own distractions. Sometimes we're guilty of pursuing something that is not of God, but we're doing that, and now we want to blame God or somebody else for that distraction. Let's be honest. Sometimes we bring those distractions in our lives because we're not pursuing Him or we're not making a priority out of our walk with Him. All of that causes us to live in disobedience. And so really, I think the core of everything that David is teaching us here is that we need to make sure not only that we're pursuing Him, but that we're also being obedient. Now, we can be very clear about what that could mean. Obviously, anything that's a sin, we want to steer clear of. We want to live a life of pursuing holiness. But there are things that go deeper than that. Things that maybe God has called you to or directed you to, and it's not that that is a blanket sin covered in the Ten Commandments. But it's a sin because you've not been obedient in doing what God has called you. It could be that you've got a noisy neighbor, you've got a problem at work, you've got somebody that you just can't stand to be around, and God is commanding you to love them, but you're being disobedient in that, and as a cost of that, you're not feeling His presence anymore, and certainly not experiencing the peace. Now, you may have that in other areas of your life, but every time you think about that person or that situation, it just stirs your heart, not in a good way. And it could just be the fact that God has called you and put that in your path, that person, so that now you can be His tool and instrument of that. But you refuse to do that, so you're in disobedience. See what I mean by that? You're not going to find that in Scripture. You're not going to go to Exodus chapter 20 and find when you ignore God telling you to talk to somebody, as we talked about last week, and sharing our faith, you're not going to find that. But we know that's something God has commanded us to do, and we're being disobedient. There are lots of levels of disobedience. And some of us, we get callous toward it. We get so immune to the disobedience that it no longer shocks us, and we're no longer capable of feeling the conviction about those things. Listen, my prayer in all of this is that God opens our hearts and allows us to see Him not just in the place that He's at, but clearly in what He wants for us, so that we now can begin to see the things that are keeping us from truly experiencing that peace that He wants. Now, let's pause here for a second. We're in the midpoint. When we talk about the peace that surpasses all understanding, please don't imagine that I'm saying that you're just going to float in to places. You're going to have a halo over your head, a bright light shining down on you, and all of your worries in life disappear. You don't have flat tires. You don't have cars that have problems anymore or people that anger you. No, that's not what we're saying. And it doesn't mean that you're on that sense of peace, that nothing affects you. It does. But the problem that you face in those situations is resolved when you understand that God has that peace already there. It's almost like this. Now, I got an older cell phone that's aging. It was new years ago, but now the battery doesn't last all day. You've heard me use this illustration before in other things. I got to recharge that thing. And I'm finding now, I don't know what's happened with the latest update. It could be my phone battery. Could be the update that they put out. I don't know. But I do know this, about 6 o'clock in the evening, I start getting below 20%. And if you have an Apple phone, you hate that little red sort of battery thing that comes across the top of your phone. So you got to charge it. So what do I do? I boost charge it. I have found that if I put it on a good charger for about 20 minutes, that'll get me to bedtime. And then I can put it back on the charger and be good. I got to tap into that power source. Listen, that's what we mean by the peace. It's not that you charge up and you never run out of battery. It's just that when you're in those moments where those things now begin to cause distraction, rather than following those things and letting them deconstruct the peace, you now, the knee-jerk reaction is, you're like, well, God, take this. You work through this. Help me to get back to what I need to be doing. And you now begin to tap in and plug in, for lack of a better way to say it, and recharge. It's as if you're saying, God, take over. Help me to have this. Don't let this disrupt. You know what's all going on and what you want to do, and I know that, but let me just plug into that and recharge. That can happen in many ways, but it's about being obedient and not letting things begin to control you. And we live in a convoluted, stressful society. And so it's easy to just say, well, that's just what happens today. Everybody I know struggles with this. Everybody goes through these things. You're probably right. But the difference for you as someone who walks in your faith is that you don't have to wallow in that. You don't have to let that control you. You can now begin to allow God to take over. And sometimes it becomes scary for a person like me. That means letting go of it. I mean, just absolutely letting go and allowing God to do what He wants to do. And my prayer is not always, God, take this. It's also, God, fix this. Figure this out. If I've got something I've done wrong, let me see that and be obedient to fix it. But you got to take this and fix this. And sometimes He fixes it the way I want Him to, and other times He doesn't. Sometimes there's another leg to this journey. But He always shows up, and it's my refusal to take that piece that now begins to affect it rather than God giving me that piece. He's always given it to me. My struggle is to accept it. You understand? I mean, some of you are like me in that you just can't let it go. You fixate on it. And you got to get it fixed. You got to do this. You got to do that. And now what you're doing is God's laid out the solution. He's put the piece before you, but you're just sort of putting one foot in and one foot out. You're not resting in it. Learning to crawl up. I love this image in the Old Testament. Crawl up in His lap and allow Him to be your Father. Allow Him to take those things. Allow Him to work through those things and give Him time to be able to do those. In other words, be patient. So if we're going to find that peace and put ourselves in that place, we've got to pursue Him. We've got to live obediently. And then the last one you'll see on the screen, this is the hardest one. The other two are pretty easy. They're pretty black and white. This one's tough. We need to trust His care. Now, what does that mean? Well, peace is maintained by constantly trusting Him and not double-checking or doubting God. Letting God be God. What do we say? We say that all the time. Let Him be God. You're not God. You don't have the ability to be. So let Him be God in that situation and learn to let Him take care of it and trust Him in that. This is the hard part, at least for me, because there are times, as I said a moment ago, I will often be guilty of this, and I know nobody else has this problem, but we'll pray about things, and in that situation, my problem is I often tell God how I think He should fix it. So God, if You'll just take this, help them not to be angry, or help them to get past this or forget this, or help that situation to get resolved, or just miraculously solve it doing these things. And then when God doesn't do that, now I begin to doubt that He's actually working. God, did You miss the phone call? Maybe you're busy today. Did I get your voicemail and didn't realize? And we now begin to panic because we're worried that God's not showing it. You got to learn, not just in the things that we've talked about, pursue Him and be obedient, but in the whole core of that, we've got to trust Him in what He's doing. And maybe, as I said a moment ago, maybe there's another level that you're going to go through in this. I'm not talking about a game here or anything like that, but when I think sometimes things are resolved, then sometimes they're not. And there's another level. And it rather than saying, well, that didn't work. God, I gave You a chance. You didn't fix it. So now I guess I'm going to have to find another solution. That's not what that means. What that means is maybe God's not ready to show you what He's doing, or maybe He's wanting to teach you something in that next stage. And sometimes it's not just two, it could be three or four stages to where God is wanting you to be obedient to Him, to pursue Him even in the midst of your confusion, but have absolute trust that He's going to take care of it the way He wants to take care of it, not the way you think it needs to be taken care of or the way you would like for it to be taken care of. And see, I think sometimes it's easy to say, yeah, I trust God. It's a whole other thing that when you're in a convoluted, chaotic situation, trusting Him in those, especially when it doesn't make sense, especially when it's illogical. And there's no way that's the right way, but yet God is doing that. And you just learn to trust Him. And it's a blind trust, I believe that. Sometimes He lets you see part of it. Other times He doesn't. But just learning to take one step at a time. That's the best advice I could give us. Is that sometimes when we're not certain, you just got to do where God tells you to go. You got to take that step. And then another step. And not try to figure it out. Not try to see the whole shoot and match, the whole horizon, the whole journey. Just understand that there are steps that He's telling you to take. And so you do that. And then in the end, I have never, God, have God fail me in that. I've never had God, you know, I get to the end, he leads me through this, and then he's just like, yep, well, that's not what I want, and snatches the rug. He's never done that. He's always, and there are times, by the way, where he has done things, and I saw part of it, but I didn't understand the fullness of what he did until sometime into the future. Could be years, could be months, could be days. And in all of that time, I'm just trusting him and learning to stay close to him in that, and that's difficult, but letting him finish out what he's doing and having absolute trust. Here's the question. Not about whether or not you want to experience the peace, but do you want God to do what he wants to do and then trust him absolutely, wholeheartedly, without question? Now, that's a lot easier to say than actually do. And most of us, if you're like me, you're going to stumble along the way. But here's the catch. God still loves us. God still wants to bring that peace. And there are times that I can see in my life where he is about to deliver that peace, and then I do something stupid to bring it back about five steps. And so the repeating or going through a different stage is sometimes because I wasn't obedient. And I decided to do something on my own or do something stupid and try to fix it and get in the way of what God wanted to do. I think when God tells us to trust him, that means just absolutely letting go of it. And trying not to worry about it, but let him take it and then monitor what it is that he wants you to do by being obedient, taking those steps when he wants you to. So as David is doing this, I can almost feel David's heart in this passage. I would encourage you, read the whole psalm, because it's packed full of these kinds of things. It's one of the greatest psalms, I think, in all of the book of Psalms, because of the fact that it covers so much in our daily life, especially in 2026, in the crazy world we live in, that is absolutely counter to what it teaches us in this passage about finding peace. The world will tell you there is no peace. Or if there is peace, it's found in a drug or in a quick fix or in some type of thing that you do. And the reality is all of those are temporary. The only true peace comes by way of him and your walk with him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. And I pray for myself and everyone else who is a believer. There's no question about where we are with you as far as our salvation. But what the question is, are we interrupting the ability to sense and feel and know your peace? And the honest answer to that question is probably all of us fall into that trap of doing some of the things that we've talked about this morning. We've allowed distractions. We've caused our own stumbling. We've decided to get impatient and not trust you. I mean, the list is probably long of different things that all of us could be truthful and admit that we've done that have disrupted the feeling of peace. And then we have the audacity to blame you because we don't feel your peace. God, first, forgive us of that. Secondly, help us to realize what we need to do. And we've given three suggestions out of this passage today that we could do, but there's a whole host of things, really, that goes into this. Can't just be three simple steps. There's a lot of things that we need to do, and I believe these are starting points, but that we need to genuinely understand what it is that you want for us and seek you. And I think that's pretty simple. It's not a mind twister boggling type thing. We just need to worship you and pursue you and be all that we can in our walk with you and accomplish what you've put us on this earth to do, whatever that may be, and to do that in a way that honors you. Now, the specifics of that and the timing of that is where we sometimes get all bogged down and stressed about. But the reality is it's pretty easy. We just need to pursue you. We need to worship you. We need to seek to please you. We need to love you more today than we did yesterday. So God, help us as believers to rest first in that knowledge of your presence and your peace. You're not run off. You're not on a spaceship leaving us, but you've been right here all along. But then, God, I pray, help us to be able to understand that we sometimes have to turn and look towards you and the offering of peace that you give us. And so help us to see that and to pursue that, as we've said. Now, for the lost person this morning, it goes back to the fact that if they don't know Jesus, our first point, they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they can't possibly understand what the peace of God is. They might have been able to see it remotely, but they've never experienced it, because that only comes by way, I believe, in someone who has been forgiven and who knows Jesus as their Savior. So that would be the next step for them, is to accept Christ. We're going to have a time of commitment and response here in just a moment. And a perfect way for them to find out how to do that would be to walk down, talk with me. And then we'll put them with somebody, myself or somebody else, to be able to walk them through just what it means to ask Christ into their heart. Now, if they're at home watching this, they can't walk down the aisle, but they can call somebody who they know is a believer and share with them that their desire is to know Christ, or maybe just call our church. You can call our number, and we'll respond and help you through that. But whatever it is, we need to respond to you this morning in a way that honors you. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?